It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Manesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a bitch.
Colbert.
Well, hello there. Good afternoon. I am your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. Hope your Thursday is going outstanding. Appreciate you being here very much. However you are tuned in, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. It is August 17 of 2023. We are yet one day closer to football. And we'll have some preseason football on The Fan this weekend. You'll be able to listen to the Seattle Seahawks play host to the Dallas Cowboys in a preseason game. So, obviously for us, you know, put a game on the air, make sure everything goes as it should. And for you, you get to listen to football if you so choose. So, that's the plan. You got Cubs Day Baseball on Saturday. The Cubs off today, and then they return to action with Game 1 of what will be a three-game series from the friendly confines of Wrigley Field against the Kansas City Royals. And holy cow, my goodness, did you listen or watch last night's game? I mean, that was just remarkable. It was one of those games that, for myself, I mean, just sitting at home watching, I was like many other Cub fans, where I was pretty dejected. Like, really, we're going to lose to the freaking White Sox again? They're going to come to Wrigley Field after, you know, the Cubs had gone to the South Side earlier this season and taken both of those games in the two-game set. Which, quick sidebar here, I don't know why in the hell the MLB schedule makers make these Cubs-White Sox series like they have for a few years now. This was even before they went to the balanced schedule this year. They're making them two-game series and not three-game series. Like, why? I have no idea in my wildest dreams why that's the case. The Cubs on this balanced schedule playing, you know, all these American League teams in three-game series. Why can't you get two three-game sets against the White Sox? And I would have especially liked that this season because the White Sox stink. And the Cubs took 3 of 4, albeit it took some just, no other way to put it, just heroics from the young man, Christopher Morel, the Cubs DH, who has shown some light tower power this season. But even though in that bottom of the ninth inning, Cody Bellinger led it off with a double. Dansby Swanson followed with a walk. It's 3-1. You got a power hitter up. You're going, man. You know, even if he does, you know, get a base hit or find his way on, I mean, you got your work cut out for you here. What's your chances of winning this game still? Maybe 20%. So I'm sitting there and I'm in the doldrums, and the next thing you know, you hear the crack of the bat, and well, the rest is history now.
Bellinger leads at second, Swanson away from first, and the 1-2, swinging a drive toward right center. Back goes Robert, back near the stands. That ball is gone. A game-winning home run for Chris Morel. Can you believe it? Listen to this crowd.
first, what an amazing call by the Hall of Famer Pat Hughes. And second, that crowd at Wrigley Field was as loud as I can remember since the run to the World Series in 2016. I mean, that place was completely up for grabs. And I'm sure my neighbors are like, what in the hell's going on over there? Because that's the type of thing that, and I'm not a yell at the TV guy, you know, whether it's good or bad, but that's too good. That's sports at such a great level that got me out of my seat and that got me hollering at the television. That was a lot of fun last night. And like I mentioned, Cubs off today and then begin that 3-game set against the Royals tomorrow. Pregame will be at 12:45. All right, what we have on our radar today, as you might imagine, beyond baseball we just talked about, is plenty of football once again. We'll have another coach's interview as it relates to our 2023 Metro and Area High School football team previews. Mark Hubbard, outstanding Waverly Shell Rock High School football coach, will join us in the next segment of today's show. All the Gohawks did last season was go a perfect 9-0 in the regular season and qualify or make it as a quarterfinalist in the Class 4A playoffs. So the Gohawks are back and looking for a deeper run, of course, into the 4A playoffs this season, but they got their work cut out after an outstanding senior class graduated this past season. So we'll talk Gohawks football in the next segment with the coach, Mark Hubbard. After we're done there, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. We'll get you Radio Iowa Sports at that point and come back in the third segment. And much like yesterday, you know, we're getting so close to both the high school and college football seasons, and we've been talking a lot of high school football, trying to talk to every single one of our metro and area coaches, that this week I was like, man, we need to get make sure that we talk you and I, Iowa State, and Iowa football. Yesterday we had David Eichold, our friend from HawkeyeInsider.com and 24/7 Sports join. If you missed it, of course, the podcast is available at the website, 1650thefan.com. You should bookmark it. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. But after talking with David yesterday and knowing that tomorrow is UNI Football Media Day, that I'm sure you understand I will be there alongside my colleague Mark Simpson, and I'll bring you audio from Coach Farley, players, assistant coaches tomorrow on the show. So we're going to talk Iowa State with my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up in the third segment of today's show. If you remember, Iowa State had its media day last week, albeit a trimmed down media day as a result of all of the, you know, allegations and charges that have happened with the gambling investigation. It was just Coach Campbell available, no assistants, and just a handful of student athletes made available at that media day. So interested to talk to Rob about that and then just dig in. Honestly, more so on the football side of things, because football is getting so close that, understandably so, a lot of the talk's been about this gambling investigation. I feel like we got to learn a lot more, and there should be a lot to learn here as the season approaches on the football side of things with the Iowa State Cyclones. So look forward to Rob joining the show in the third segment. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout. Get you a NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time and wrap up the show. Of course, we'll lead it off here in just a moment with area sports news and scores. And before we talk to Waverly Shell Rock football coach Mark Hubbard, we get you the timeout with the national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. Sounds like the heat will soon be making its return. You know, the dog days of August were not going to go away without barking at us. So we'll hear from Megan Mulford as well during that first time out coming up. All right, let's go ahead and dive in. Area sports news and scores for your Thursday. Today in boys high school golf involving a Metro team, Cedar Falls competing in Cedar Rapids at the Cedar Rapids Washington Warrior Invitational. That's at Glens Creek. The Tigers are among 17 teams competing. Tough news from the UNI men's basketball team as Austin Fife announced today that he will forego his final year of athletic eligibility and medically retire from the sport. The former Waverly Shell Rock standout announced his decision after a series of medical hardships over the past 2 years. The 6'9", 249-pound forward saw limited playing time 2 seasons ago and missed all of last season. Fife appeared in 121 games for the Panthers, averaging 7.6 points and 4.6 rebounds per game. He finishes his collegiate career owning UNI's highest career field goal percentage of 60%, and he will still be part of the team as he begins graduate school this fall semester and will be a graduate assistant on Coach Ben Jacobson's staff. The UNI women's soccer team kicks off its season. It's underway right now as the Panthers began their match at St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota, about an hour ago at 4 o'clock. UNI is coming off of a 6-6-8 record a season ago, and the Panthers returned 21 players from that team, including first-team preseason All-MVC selection Lauren Heinch, a forward. She led UNI with 5 goals last season. Head coach Bruce Erickson is beginning his 7th season as the head coach of the Panther women's soccer team. The Iowa State women's soccer team opens its 2023 season this evening, hosting Arizona. The Cyclones and Wildcats begin at 6 tonight. It marks the second straight season that Arizona and Iowa State will face off in the opening match of the regular season. Last year, Arizona edged the Cyclones 2-1 in the desert. The Cyclones enter regular season play after a 2-0 preseason, which featured wins over both UNI and Minnesota. The Wartburg men's soccer team has been picked to finish 3rd in the American Rivers Conference preseason poll. Loras is the preseason league favorite. Luther is 2nd. Wartburg returns 8 starters from last year's team that finished 7-2-9 overall. The Knights open their season this coming Tuesday at Upper Iowa. The American Rivers Conference released its volleyball preseason coaches poll, and Co. is the favorite to win the conference. Wartburg was voted to finish 2nd. The Knights finished last season 15-11 and were 2nd in the American Rivers Conference at 7-1. The Knights have 5 starters back from a season ago, including 3 all-conference honorees. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Thursday, looking into tomorrow and Saturday. We'll come back on the other side and talk high school football. Waverly Shell Rock coach Mark Hubbard joins us next to preview the 2023 Gohawks right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Isaac Lowenkron.
An outstanding performance today by Seattle Mariners outfielder Julio Rodriguez. He went 5-for-5 with 5 RBI, including the go-ahead 3-run home run of the 8th inning of the Mariners' 6-4 victory at Kansas City. Earlier today, Major League Baseball reduced Chicago White Sox shortstop Tim Anderson's 6-game suspension for fighting with Cleveland's Jose Ramirez down to 5 games. In the NFL, multiple outlets report that the Baltimore Ravens are signing free agent cornerback Ronald Darby. Indianapolis Colts receiver Ashton Doolin tore his ACL in practice yesterday and will be out for the season. Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiver Russell Gage is out for the season after tearing his patellar tendon in practice yesterday. The Kansas City Chiefs, meanwhile, will once again play their starters and first string in the first half of their 2nd preseason game on Saturday at Arizona.
This is the University of Northern Iowa football coach Mark Farley. Here's a great game plan. Listen to Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson on 1650 The Fan.
The first day of school in the Cedar Falls School District is Wednesday, August 23rd. To register your returning student, log into your PowerSchool parent portal. Once you have logged into the portal, the link for online registration will be at the bottom left side of your screen. If you have forgotten your username or password or have not yet set up a parent account, please email powerhelp@cfschools.org for assistance. If you have more than one child, you will need to complete the registration for all children in your household, with the exception of PK, kindergarten, or new students to the district. After you have finished the registration process and submitted your information, there will be a link on the last page to the Tiger Web Store, which is the payment portal for school fees, lunches, and so on. If you have questions related to online registration, feel free to email powerhelp@cfschools.org.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Plug into powerful savings and get 11% off CeraWire products at Menards. CeraWire is an American-owned, leading manufacturer of building wire for residential, commercial, and industrial applications. Menards stocks convenient pre-cut lengths of wiring products for indoor and outdoor projects. Right now, get 11% off all CeraWire products at Menards. Good through August 20th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get insights into the sports betting market with VSiN's betting splits. See where the money is and keep updated on how the market is reacting. Only at VSIN.com.
White Sox dropped the Cubs 5-3 yesterday as a $1.60 underdog. Today, Mike Clevinger on the hill for the White Sox, 5-5, 3.55 ERA. White Sox open as another 47 dog. While Javier Assad is a likely starter for the Cubs, who are the another 60 favorite at Wrigley Field. Cardinal.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly clear tonight with lows around 52. Northwesterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 64. Dry with temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the low 90s to the upper 90s. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 76.
We're going to skate to one song only.
You're listening to Cole and Company on The Fan in the Cedar Valley at 102.3 FM and across Eastern Iowa at 1650 AM.
Welcome back to a Thursday edition of Cole and Company here on The Fan. We continue on with our previews of 2023 high school football teams in the metro and area. And right now we're joined by Waverly Shellrock High School football coach Mark Hubbard. Go Hawks coming off of an outstanding season, 9-0 in the 2022 regular season, a Class 4A playoff quarterfinalist. Coach Hubbard, thanks so much for being here. How are you today?
Doing great, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing outstanding. We're talking football. It's that time of the year. I mean, I know I'm ready for it, and I hope that your guys are as ready as they can be. But I think we should start with talking about your off season. How did the team look in the off season? What did you get done in terms of weightlifting or camps or 7-on-7s?
Well, pretty much all that, right? I mean, that's kind of the name of the off season game, and I think really what we hope a lot of our kids are doing, and we do have a fair amount of them that that are involved in multiple sports. And we want them out there competing as much as they can. And at a school our size, all of us head coaches, we've got to share them. They're not football players. They're not wrestlers. Mm-hmm. They're not basketball players, baseball players, or track athletes, or tennis. They're just Go Hawks, and we got to share them. And so we had a lot of kids involved, a lot of stuff.
Coach Hubbard, all the other coaches I've talked to have pointed out just how valuable the 7-on-7s can be during the off season. What did you take away from your team in 7-on-7s? Did you learn a little bit more about your guys, especially because you did have an outstanding senior class that included some skill players that graduated?
The 7-on-7 was helpful. It just gives you an opportunity to look at kids and see them moving around a little bit and experiment, really. Experiment with kids in different spots. But, yeah, in the same token, we had a lot of our skilled athletes, I'd say, a 7-on-7 type kid. They were involved in baseball, too, and that's perfectly fine. And so some of those guys didn't get as much 7-on-7 time until we went to a padded team camp down at Central College, so they got a lot more 7-on-7 time down there. But yeah, it's definitely better to be involved in 7-on-7 than a lot of other things they could be doing.
No doubt. When it comes to these preseason practices, full pads on for most all teams by this point, Coach. But in that earlier preseason period before the full pads go on, what have you and your staff found to be the most valuable use of that particular time when, like I mentioned, preseason practices are not fully padded?
Right. So, you know, we always think, and, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, there's really two things, right? It's how do I block, you know, or how do I throw? And then there's, you know, who do you block and who do you throw to? And so you have to balance it between, especially in that early time of the year on both the how and the who. Sometimes they're making mistakes because they don't know how to block. Other times they're making mistakes because they don't know who to block. And so you have to take time on both of those things, both in, you know, the passing game and the run game. And I think defensively, it's just such a great opportunity to teach, to install coverages, to install pressures, because, you know, the inability to tackle and to hit, you know, in pads on at that point, it's a lot of education.
Outside of the obvious of tackling and hitting, like you just said, when the full pads do go on in preseason practice, is there something else, you know, outside of the obvious part of, you know, just bringing the contact into practice that's important once full pads go on? I don't know, it could be as simple as conditioning with full pads. What do you say, Coach?
Yeah, I think you said it. I think the state allows you to wear a helmet pretty much all summer, and so the kids were in helmets all summer, and that helped a lot, just with their neck strength and getting used to maneuvering and looking and seeing through a helmet. But then, like you said, then when you put all the rest of the pads on and just being used to carrying that around, it does take a little time for them to get used to, you know, quarterbacks learning how to throw again with shoulder pads on. It's a little bit different. You know, receivers looking through their face masks, you know, putting the ball away, you know, high and tight, you know, with pads, without, you know, it does create, you know, just a whole different level.
Waverly Shellrock High School football coach Mark Hubbard, our guest right now on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company, as we continue our previews of metro and area teams ahead of the 2023 season. It'll be kicked off next Friday night, and the Gohawks will take on Cedar Rapids Xavier at home in Waverly. We'll talk about that with Coach Hubbard coming up here in just a little bit. But, Coach, in just talking a little bit more about your preseason practices, how much looks the same versus how much might be differentiated because of, you know, the personnel that you have from year to year? I mentioned before some outstanding seniors that graduated off of last year's team. So if at all, how different do these preseason practices look to have them tailored to the specifics of your personnel?
Yeah, you know, I think in high school football, you know, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. You know, we've been running a lot of the same stuff for about the last 3 years. Previous to that, we ran some more spread stuff. Now we'll probably be more spread oriented. You know, again, and that's just kind of based on the kids we have in our program, and really some of the schemes and you know, some of it is still applicable whether you're under center or, you know, you're in the spread or whatever you're in. So some of the run game stuff doesn't really change all that much for alignment. You know, obviously the mesh point is different in the gun than as opposed to the center. But, and then defensively, we'll be very similar, you know, to what we've been. You know, I think that it has been, it suited us well, and you know, that scheme still really fits the DNA of our kids over there playing defense.
And Coach, when it comes to, you know, being as prepared physically and mentally as possible for this upcoming season, it makes me think about, all right, everybody wants to look at a new season with fresh eyes, and that's understandable, but there's got to be at least one or two things that's important to take from the previous season that can be a benefit to the next one. What, if anything, would you put your finger on that, whether it's your staff, your players, or both, you want guys to remember because it should be helpful in 2023?
Well, you know, I think being an elite teammate is something that, you know, I think we really stress in our program, and so much of that's out of our control as coaches, and we can do the best we can to train leadership and do some of those things, but ultimately, We need to model it ourselves as coaches, and I think the last year or two or three, we've taken a step in that direction of being an elite teammate, emphasizing being an elite teammate. And so I hope that continues, you know, in 2023, that those players continue to do that and develop that mindset. And then, you know, I think there's always little schematical things, right? Like maybe you saw this play or that play or a different way to tackle. This year our staff is going to be completely an offensive side staff and a defensive staff, which we've never fully done. And we're seeing that that's benefiting both our, you know, probably we're getting more time with our younger players than we ever have before. So that's been fun to get to know those guys soon.
That's interesting. When it comes to offense and defense, you look at the offense and Cole Marsh returns at quarterback. He had an exciting announcement earlier this summer with a commitment to the Iowa Hawkeyes. What's next for Cole in terms of how he can be an even better Gohawk this football season?
Well, there aren't much better teammates than him.
Yeah.
You know, he has the opportunity now to go on to the University of Iowa, tight end U, right?
Yep.
And be a tight end there, and that's just a fantastic opportunity. And said a lot about him that he took a chance on himself. He'd never been a tight end, really, and he went down to their camp as a tight end, and they saw enough that they wanted to have him come be a part of their program. This year, to be honest, through the first 3 weeks here or so, you know, he's played a lot of positions. He's lined up at quarterback. He's lined up at X receiver. He's lined up at tight end. He's lined up at strong safety. He's lined up at H-back. He's lined up at defensive end. I mean, so he's getting a lot of different looks in a lot of different spots. So we're trying to get him, you know, like you said, to maximize his skill level.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get him out of their comfort zone and put him in positions that maybe he hasn't been in.
When it comes to your defense, you said that for the most part, you imagine schematically it'll remain the same. But, you know, you had such a great group on that side as seniors last year. Asa Newsome, McCray Haggerty, Tyler Gayer, Simon Ott, just to name a few of them, Coach Hubbard. Who's in the mix? Who are you looking to step up and lead your defense? I have to imagine that's probably got to be some really good competition that you and your staff are seeing play out right now.
Right. You know, we graduated nine of the 11 starters on defense, and a lot of those guys were two-year starters. And so we've got a lot of competition for playing time right now in those spots. And it's fun. It's really a fun atmosphere to see them battling for those spots. I think, you know, the strength of that unit, the experience, I should say, will be across the defensive line. That's where we return the most experience. And Cole Thompson, who was an all-district defensive end, and Cale Miller, who was an all-district offensive lineman, he'll return on the D-line as well. Caden Hutz will be back on there. Carter Fink is a junior and showed a lot of promise, you know, on the defensive line. And then we've got a sophomore, and Ian Sedgwick, that really has done a nice job so far, you know, to this point. And then the linebackers, we've got the Kramer twins, we got George and Charlie,
mm-hmm.
that are juniors, and they're both exciting players to watch, great rugby players, so you know, we're excited to see them. And in the secondary, a lot of different guys battling back there. Grant Traynor will be a senior, brings back the most experience back there probably. And the edges, you know, I already mentioned Cole Marsh. You know, he's been playing some outside linebacker. Gavin Stockdale's been taking reps there. Mentioned Cam Kramer already on the edge as an outside backer. Jack Wilson's got a younger brother, Sam, that's taken a lot of reps at corner. Benny Ramker's back. Had some experience last year at corner. Nathan Miller. So we got some guys that definitely could do some things. Ethan Bibler is looking really good at safety and halfback, and they use him kind of in those spots on here and there. So a lot of different guys.
When it comes to the season opener a week from this Friday at home against Cedar Rapids Xavier, just given our conversation, Coach Hubbard, makes me think of a couple things. One, of course, just what do you know about Cedar Rapids Xavier? And two, what's the approach when you're going to have so many new starters to open a season? It's not like you haven't been there before, but what do you think about those two dynamics, the scattering report versus week one with a lot of new starters?
Well, you know, Xavier's in a similar boat. They graduated about nine guys off their state championship defense, so they'll have some new faces out there. They reload. I mean, they're tough every year. Mm-hmm. Coach Schulte does a great job. So, you know they're going to play hard. They're going to play downhill. They play super physical. And that is, you know, it doesn't matter. That's their trademark. That's how they play. You know, in terms of our history with them, you know, probably I would say, you know, we've yet to beat them during my time here. And probably if you look at their, you know, the scores, we've given them, you know, some of the biggest challenges probably that they've had.
Yeah.
You know, in here, you know, we haven't played in recent years, but you know, very familiar with their program, and they are, you know, with us as well.
A lot of great games in week one across the state, Coach Hubbard, but I think you guys might have the game up in Waverly next Friday. So best of luck, best of health this season. We'll be following along, and we'll be sure to get you back on the show at some point during the regular season, okay?
Sounds great. Thanks for what you do.
A good conversation there with Waverly Shellrock High School football coach Mark Hubbard. If you missed it, joined in late, it'll be available at the end of the program, shortly after the end of the program, at the website, 1650thefan.com, in podcast form. Hard to think the Gohawks won't be a major player again in Class 4A this football season. All right, before we take this next time out and go from talking high school football to college football with colleague of mine, Rob Grave, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, does an outstanding job covering Cyclone football, among other things, for the Gazette. I want to tell you, hey, Cooper's Tap Room, if you haven't heard by now, at the bottom of College Hill, it's now open. And as soon as you step foot inside Cooper's Tap Room, you'll see that it's not your usual College Hill bar. It offers a wide array of ice-cold tap beers, signature and seasonal drinks, a delectable, unique menu, and the environment you desire. TVs all around. It's got the feel of a longtime local establishment. You can find out more at cooperstaproom.com. And I know tonight, I was talking about this a couple days ago on the show when I was telling you about Cooper's, that they've got the Berea Tacos on special. You'll see them there on the sign when you walk in the door. It's an off-the-menu special. And as the kids would say, those things are fire. So if you haven't made your dinner plans tonight, go check out the Cedar Valley's newest establishment, Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls. We talk Iowa State football with Rob Gray next, right here on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa's offense is motivated to stop being a liability this season. The Hawkeyes were 8-5 a year ago, but it could have been much better had they averaged more than a measly 17.7 points per game. An influx of transfers are being counted on to make the offense more productive, including former Michigan quarterback Cade McNamara.
He's a great player and an even better leader in person, I think. One thing he's brought to this team is definitely leadership, and I feel like he brings this chip on his shoulder with him here that I feel like the offense and the whole rest of the team has kind of taken on with themselves as well.
That's senior receiver Nico Reganey. UNI forward Austin Fife announced he's medically retiring from basketball. Fife missed all of last season while dealing with blood clots in his lungs. This is Radio Iowa.
Naloxone can help you save someone's life. If you know someone that takes pain medication, or they have prescription narcotics and there are young children in the home, or they use drugs that include opioids, an overdose could happen. Naloxone could save their life. Naloxone is a nasal spray, and it is easy to use. You can get Naloxone for free from many local pharmacies. So ask your pharmacist about getting Naloxone, and be prepared to save a life. A message from Iowa HHS.
What if, instead of looking down on people struggling with using drugs, we saw them as people instead? People who have interests and passions, people that have loved ones they care about, and loved ones who care about them. They have a powerful illness, and they need help and support so they can live the life they want and deserve. See the person, not the addiction. Learn more at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
The exterior of your business is the first thing people will notice about you, and this includes your parking lot. When someone pulls into your business, what do they see? If your lot is not well-maintained, they just may see your competitor. Let us help you make a better first impression. I'm Les with A-Line Striping and Sweeping. Our customers know us for our extraordinary service. You see, we'll work around your business hours to avoid disruptions. We use superior products, and we pay attention to the little details. This keeps our customers coming back time and time again. Call us or go online to alinestriping.com.
We've invented a new messaging system using the crisp sounds of Bud Light. Crisp Code, Lesson 86. This is how you say, "Gee Willikers, it's a hot one." Let's cool down with some Bud Lights. That's it for today. Bud Light. Crisp.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to witness heart-pounding action, electrifying plays, and edge-of-your-seat moments on the gridiron? Well, look no further. Iowa State football season tickets are available for $249 or $42 per game. Don't miss this chance to secure your spot for every game of the season. With our $249 season tickets, you'll be a part of something bigger than just a game. Don't delay. Head to Cyclones.com now to get your football season tickets.
Stay up to date with high school football on 1650 The Fan.
This is Cedar Falls coach Brad Remmer.
This is Waterloo West coach Lonnie Moore.
I am Waterloo East High coach DeCarlos Anderson.
And I'm Waterloo Columbus coach Brad Schmidt.
Hear the latest news and game previews with the Metro High School football coaches.
On the Coaches Huddle, live from Peppers in Cedar Falls.
Every Wednesday night from 6 to 7.
On 1650 The Fan. Maximum sports.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Thursday edition of the show continues, and we're going to keep talking football as both the high school and college seasons draw near, and the NFL for that matter. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll have an NFL preseason game coming up this Saturday as the Seattle Seahawks host the Dallas Cowboys. That'll start at 6:30, Cubs baseball during the day on Saturday. But we're here to talk Iowa State Cyclones football. We talked Iowa Hawkeyes yesterday. We're going to talk UNI Panthers tomorrow. So we're joined now by my colleague Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Does an outstanding job covering Cyclones football. And he joins us now. Rob, thanks for being here. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Cole. How are you?
I'm doing great. Football season's getting here. I think we're at that point where it's like, man, I just want to watch a game. However, that being said, I haven't spoken to you since Iowa State held its annual media day last week, and that was a different animal because of the gambling investigation. It was just Coach Campbell, no assistant coaches, and only a handful of student athletes made available. And a lot of times, like, you know, the media day story can get cliche, and you're trying to find, you know, a good hook for a story. So take us through that experience, Rob, on what I would imagine, you know, to put it lightly, was a bit of an unusual media day.
Yeah, it was very unusual. I mean, understandably, given just, a few days earlier, the initial wave of charges stemming from the Iowa Division of Criminal Investigations probe into gambling among student athletes at Iowa and Iowa State, and apparently nowhere else. came up with charges. You know, Hunter Decker's involved. You know, former Cyclone Eni Wazirike was with the Denver Broncos. He'd been suspended because of that. You know, so Coach Campbell said flat out he didn't want anybody else to ask to answer questions. He's the face of the program, and he didn't want. He had some new assistants, obviously, especially in the offensive side of the ball, and a cornerback. Didn't want them to be asked questions. I don't know that they would have, you know, but I can see why you have the circle the wagons mentality on that day. And
sure,
it does hamstring you as a reporter, though, and kind of forces everyone to make the story about, okay, what does Campbell have to say about this stuff? And you know, that's – so it was very, very different. Obviously a very unique and different situation, unique to Iowa among our 50 states. This type of investigation, I can't imagine that it won't set a trend. So we'll see what goes from there. But, a definitely bizarre media day. But once you got into it, it was just like, okay, this is how it is today. And just the other day, we got 8 players. So still no quarterbacks. But knock on wood that that'll happen sometime as we ramp up towards the September 2nd season opener against the UNI Panthers.
Yeah, let's hope so, because I obviously am planning on asking about that quarterback battle, but I suppose where I want to go next is like the football side of things that are almost impossible to decouple right at this point from, you know, the fallout of the gambling investigation. But if we would have had this conversation, and we may have, honestly, but the summer kind of blurs together here. You know, back in June or July, talking Iowa State football, Rob, you know, the preseason poll comes out. If I remember correctly, Iowa State was 10th in that preseason poll, maybe 9th. But last season, they win 4 games. That was below expectations. However, like I mentioned, the preseason poll is probably thinking about 4 wins again, and that's before these charges came from the gambling investigation. However, not that I'm plugged in terrifically, but whatever it's worth, plugged in a little bit, I don't get the sense from the Iowa State fan base that it's like, oh, we're ready to throw in the towel. This season's probably going to be a dumpster fire. We'll be lucky to get to 4 wins. I mean, what can you say about that dynamic and how you evaluate this football team and, you know, what it could reach in terms of a win total?
Yeah, I still think it's where it was at before. They were picked 10th. I think that was a media poll or the coaches. I can't remember which one around Big 12 media days. And I believe I said I could see that. I could also see them getting as high up into the 5-6 range. I mean, I think a lot of teams fit the bill for that. But, you know, last year's starting quarterback not playing. Starting defensive tackle, Isaiah Lee, has left the team after it was revealed that he actually bet against Iowa State in a game that the Cyclones throttled Texas. So, you know, you got an offensive tackle, Jake Remsburg, who started a bunch of games. He didn't bet on any Iowa State games, which should bode well maybe in terms of suspensions from the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
But surely he'll miss some time, you would think. And then, I mean, you throw in the others. I mean, you lose some players with starting experience, you'd think, yeah, it would take a big dip. But, as I've said many times, the recruiting rankings, they keep climbing them every year. I mean, are they ever going to be a team with a lot of 4 stars versus mostly 3 and some 2s and a smattering of 4s? Probably not.
Right.
But, you know, they like who they brought in. I mean, there is that they've built depth, which they showed each season, even last season when 6 of those 8 losses were by 1 score in the Oklahoma game, more or less was, because they were driving for a chance to win the game, or they had a chance to drive and threw an interception and went the other way. Again, they feel like they're kind of in the same spot. But these competitions are going to go deep at almost every position. I mean, other than TJ Tampa, a surefire high-end NFL prospect at corner, and Gary Vaughn at linebacker, and a handful of others on the offensive line, Jalen Noel at receiver, probably Jaden Higgins, Dimitri Stanley. You got some guys penciled in, but otherwise, a lot of spots really up for grabs, and we'll see how much that depth bears out.
Yeah, sure seems like, as you lay out there, that this season could be like the greatest audit of what the recruiting means and what the rankings of the guys, of course, that they've brought in as Matt Campbell's well into his tenure now at Iowa State, you know, how well can that, you know, hold this all up amid this gambling investigation and the fallout of it? Obviously, understandably so, as you touched on already, the quarterback battle, that's at center stage with all of this, Rob, and it's Rob Gray, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on a Thursday edition of Cole & Company, talking Cyclone football. Rocco Beck, the redshirt freshman, Tanner Hughes, the JUCO transfer, J.J. Cole, the highly touted Ankeny recruit. These are the guys in that battle, and first-year offensive coordinator Nate Shielhouse, I know, recently spoke because I read your story in the Gazette, Rob. So I suppose maybe the question to ask is, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, what if anything, would you say in terms of an analysis of where this competition stands?
Well, Campbell last week, and Shielhouse was asked, I believe, by Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register if he would like to name a starting quarterback, and Shielhouse kind of joked, yeah, as soon as Coach Campbell tells me, I'll tell you who he named as a starting quarterback. You know, they like Rocco Beck. Obviously, the bloodlines, Father Anthony, an XFL coach, NFL vet with the Jets, which has become, you know, the Cy Jets or whatever, right? With the current Jets. Does a lot of things well. J.J. Cole, the arm, the demeanor. I mean, he's got it all. A high four-star guy. Had a lot of teams coming at him. Legacy guy, of course, with his dad, Jamie, having kicked at Iowa State. You know, it's too close to call at this point. And I'd imagine it will remain so until we get up at least close to that season opener, maybe game week. You know, Rocco's maybe a little bit more mobile, but J.J., as big as he is got a little bit more wiggle than I think people think. He showed it in high school a little bit. But can really throw it and really, really, I mean, much like Hunter Deckers, the arm talent is incredible. And then they brought in a junior college guy with experience, Tanner Hughes, who is a really good dual threat guy and a guy who can maybe help mature yardage like Joel Lanning did in the past.
Interesting.
It's anybody's race, but one thing that's obvious is no one is going to be the starting for Iowa State at quarterback who's thrown more than 15 passes at the FBS level. Oh. So that's, I guess, concerning and exciting at the same time when you want to see whether these guys are as good and whether Beck's grown within his 1 year in the program last season, what Cole's done since he early enrolled in January. A lot of uncertainty, and that's, again, can be both exciting and probably terrifying.
Yeah, certainly. And it makes me think of a couple things, Rob. One being the old cliche, if you don't have one quarterback, you don't have any. And it also makes me think to ask, when you explained the question to Nate Shielhouse, the offensive coordinator, are you ready to name a starting quarterback? And he says, yeah, sure, as soon as Coach Campbell is ready to, you know, have me name one. The way he answered that question, could you tell at all that maybe Nate Shielhouse would name one today if he had the green light to name one?
I didn't think about it that way, but I think he was just kind of in jest trying to say,
sure,
you know, just like, hey, you know, I may run the offense, but at the same time, I've got a head coach above me,
yeah,
you know, that we'll have to confer with and you know, we'll come to a decision, arrive at a decision jointly or something like that. But I think it is too close at this point. And, you know, with Rocco having some experience and J.J. having none, you know, he was playing Southeast Polk and et cetera, Dowling last year. How does that translate? I guess we won't know until, as Campbell always says, the lights come on. They won't come on since it's a 1 p.m. kick against the Panthers on September 2nd, but figuratively they will, and it'll certainly be intriguing to see, you know, Campbell said they played multiple quarterbacks at Toledo a number of times.
Yeah.
Maybe early in the season it's by committee a little bit, just like running back looks to possibly be, and you know, that's, you know, a crapshoot. I mean, again,
Rob, it's not hard to picture something where one of Becht or Cole settles in, and then maybe Hughes, as you mentioned, is the dual threat guy. He folds right into that section of the playbook that may need a little dusting off, but that Joel Lanning was so good at.
Yeah, I think Campbell always treats the pre-conference season games a bit like auditions. I mean, it took David Montgomery a while to become the top running back. It took Breece Hall a while to become the top running back. So with Cartavius Norton there and Eli Sanders, they really like those guys. And some incoming freshmen as well, they're really high on. And others within the program, they'll probably do it very much the same way. Now, against the UNI team that always has talent and always, or almost always, seems to give Iowa State trouble, that, I guess, fans can interpret that as they will. But it's not unique in the sense that, hey, at a certain number of positions, you're going to try guys out, and eventually, as Campbell says, the old cliche, the cream rises to the top, and then you have a clear number two, and you might have a Tanner Hughes in those occasional short yardage packages as well.
Rob, before I got a run, have you thought yet about the predictions that both of us will have to make in the Gazette for this UNI Iowa State game?
Funny you should mention that, Cole, because I have not given it one thought, to be honest.
Well, sorry, my bad, Rob.
That's all right.
Because I know that's your favorite thing to do every week during the football season.
Oh yeah. You can't beat the picks. Although Hallastradamus can.
Yeah, I was going to say you can beat my picks. That's for sure.
Yeah, and frequently mine too. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, I think talent-wise and, of course, scholarship-wise, the Cyclones have the edge. But given how good Theo Day is for you and I and a number of other guys across both sides of the ball, always an adventure when the Cyclones and Panthers square off.
No doubt about it. Rob, great stuff. Take care, and we'll catch up again soon, okay?
Yep, thanks, Cole. Always great to join you.
Thank you, Rob. Likewise. Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, kind enough to join us on this Thursday edition of Cole & Company. We got to take this final timeout. Come back and wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Ravens may be without one of their defensive leaders to start the season. All-pro cornerback Marlon Humphrey underwent foot surgery after dealing with a lingering issue. NFL Network insiders Ian Rappaport, Mike Garofolo, and Tom Pelissero report Humphrey is expected to miss the beginning of the 2023 season, but head coach John Harbaugh says he doesn't expect Humphrey's absence to be a long-term one. We got our first look at Ezekiel Elliott in a Patriots uniform Wednesday. The former Cowboys running back participated in a joint practice with the Packers after signing a one-year deal with the Pats. Double good news for the Raiders. All-pro receiver Devontae Adams was back at practice for the first time since injuring his leg last week. And the team activated first-round pick Tyree Wilson off the non-football injury list. The former Texas Tech defensive end is now free to practice for the first time since undergoing foot surgery last year. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
The Dell Technologies Back to School event is on, with deals on top tech for class, hobbies, and more. Now, when you buy, you support a cause. With every eligible purchase, Dell will donate to UNICEF in support of GIGA, a UNICEF ITU global initiative to connect schools across the globe to the internet. Accidental damage protection included. Get rare deals on select laptops and desktops powered by the latest Intel Core processors. Save now at Dell.com/deals. UNICEF does not endorse any company, brand, product, or service.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. One of the main arguments to Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson's suspension appeal was the NFL's statement in which the league holds owners to a higher standard. Watson is far from a role model at this point, but that doesn't mean his claims were baseless. The NFL has handed down multiple harsh penalties on its players, but overall, NFL owners are often protected, not held to that higher standard. That was once again made clear last week. It was originally reported by Pro Football Talk that Texas minority owner Javier Loya faces one count of rape, five counts of first-degree sexual abuse, one count of third-degree sexual abuse. A warrant for his arrest was issued on May 10th. But for almost 3 months, not a peep from the NFL. Hard to imagine that being the case for any player, no matter the caliber of that player. We all know the commissioner works for the owners, but this is not a new issue. It certainly feels deceitful and hypocritical, and it needs to change. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Aljamain Sterling and Sean O'Malley battle for the bantamweight belt at UFC 292. Get your bets in on DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use the code Patrick. New customers can bet just $5 on UFC 292 and get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Code Patrick only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In partnership with Hollywood Casino and Charlestown Races, all games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/MMA terms.
Bussin'. It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show, with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Oh man, I think I got a sneeze. Well, okay, false alarm. I don't know if I'd ever been encountered by that before, coming right as you come back from commercial break. Oh boy, Zach Gelb show up next. Thanks to Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette and Waverly Shell Rock High School football coach Mark Hubbard for joining today's show. Have a great night, everybody. I am back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan. And the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.